Moreover, demographers see the continuing shift south and west as joined by a related but newer phenomenon. More and more Americans apparently are looking not just for places with more jobs, but with fewer people, too. Some instances. Regionally, the Rocky Mountain states reported the most rapid growth rate, 37.1% since 1970, in a vast area with only 5% of the U.S. population. Among states, Nevada and Arizona grew fastest of all, 63.5% and 53.1% respectively. Except for Florida and Texas, the top 10 in rate of growth is composed of western states with 7.5 million people, about 9 per square mile. The flight from overcrowdedness affects the migration from snowbelt to more bearable climates. Nowhere do 1980 census statistics dramatize more the American search for spacious living than in the far west. There, California added 3.7 million to its population in the 1970s, more than any other state. In that decade, however, large numbers also migrated from California, mostly to other parts of the West. Often they chose, and are still choosing, somewhat colder climates, such as Oregon, Idaho, and Alaska, in order to escape smog, crime, and other plagues of urbanization in the Golden State. As a result, California's growth rate dropped during the 1970s to 18.5%, little more than two-thirds the 1960s growth figure, and considerably below that of other western states. Vocabulary. Scatter. Spot. Volcano. Boundary. Drifting. Interior. Trail. Dispute. Material. Inject. Feature.
Reminder.
Construct. Drift. Anchor. Instrument. Stationary. Significance. Frame. Reference. Dome. Crack. Initiate. Formation. Volcanic. Complementary. Mutability.
Passage.
Scattered around the globe are more than 100 small regions of isolated volcanic activity known to geologists as hot spots. Unlike most of the world's volcanoes, they are not always found at the boundaries of the great drifting plates that make up the Earth's surface. On the contrary, many of them lie deep in the interior of a plate. Most of the hot spots move on slowly, and in some cases the movement of the plates past them has left trails of dead volcanoes. The hot spots and their volcanic trails are milestones that mark the passage of the plates. That the plates are moving is now beyond dispute. Africa and South America, for example, are moving away from each other as new material is injected into the seafloor between them. The complementary coastlines and certain geological features that seem to span the ocean are reminders of where the two continents were once joined. The relative motion of the plates carrying these continents has been constructed in detail, but the motion of one plate with respect to another cannot readily be translated into motion with respect to the Earth's interior. It is not possible to determine whether both continents are moving in opposite directions or whether one continent is stationary and the other is drifting away from it. Hotspots anchored in the deeper layers of the Earth provide the measuring instruments needed to resolve the question. From an analysis of the hotspot population, it appears that the African plate is stationary and that it has not moved during the past 30 million years. The significance of hotspots is not confined to their role as a frame of reference. It now appears that they also have an important influence on the geophysical processes that propel the plates across the globe. When a continental plate comes to rest over a hotspot, the material rising from deeper layer creates a broad dome. As the dome grows, it develops deep fissures. In at least a few cases, the continent may break entirely along some of these fissures, so that the hotspot initiates the formation of a new ocean. Thus, just as earlier theories have explained the mobility of the continents, so hotspots may explain their mutability. Lesson 19. Vocabulary. Detect. Strip. Cosmic. Administration. Satellite. Bang. Originate. Rain. Dominant. Dense. Knot. Emit. Condense. Particle. Atom. Gas. Compress. Gravity. Detector. Balloon. Triumph. Plausible. Elementary. Galaxy. Astronomer. Refinement. Anti-gravity.
Passage. They were by far the largest and most distant objects that scientists had ever detected. A strip of enormous cosmic clouds, some 15 billion light years from Earth. But even more important, it was the farthest that scientists had been able to look into the past, for what they were seeing were the patterns and structures that existed 15 billion years ago. That was just about the moment that the universe was born. What the researchers found was at once both amazing and expected. The U.S. National Aeronautics and Space Administration's Cosmic Background Explorer satellite, COBE, had discovered landmark evidence that the universe did in fact begin with a primeval explosion that had become known as the Big Bang, the theory that the universe originated in an explosion from a single mass of energy. The existence of the giant clouds was virtually required for the Big Bang, first put forward in the 1920s to maintain its reign as the dominant explanation of the cosmos. According to the theory, the universe burst into being as a sub-microscopic, unimaginable, dense knot of pure energy that flew outward in all directions, emitting radiation as it went, condensing into particles and then into atoms of gas. Over billions of years, the gas was compressed by gravity into galaxies, stars, planets, and eventually humans. COBE is designed to see just the biggest structures, but astronomers would like to see much smaller hotspots as well, the seeds of local objects like clusters and superclusters of galaxies. They shouldn't have long to wait. Astrophysicists working with ground-based detectors at the South Pole and balloon-borne instruments are closing in on such structures and may report their findings soon. If the small hotspots looked as expected, that will be a triumph for yet another scientific idea, a refinement of the Big Bang called the inflationary universe theory. Inflation says that very early on, the universe expanded in size by more than a trillion fold in much less than a second, propelled by a sort of anti-gravity. Odd though it sounds, cosmic inflation is a scientifically plausible consequence of some respected ideas in elementary particle physics, and many astrophysicists have been convinced for the better part of a decade that it is true. Vocabulary. temporary, employment, swarm,
seek,
giant, employee, boom, economy, increasingly,
remain,
competitive, cycle, burden, pension, security, benefit, being, loyal, disposable, passage.
Manpower Inc., with 560,000 workers, is the world's largest temporary employment agency. Every morning, its people swarm into the offices and factories of America, seeking a day's work for a day's pay. One day at a time, as industrial giants like General Motors and IBM struggle to survive by reducing the number of employees, Manpower, based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is booming. Even though its economy continues to recover, the U.S. is increasingly becoming a nation of part-timers and temporary workers. This disposable workforce is the most important trend in American business today, and it is fundamentally changing the relationship between people and their jobs. The phenomenon provides a way for companies to remain globally competitive while avoiding market cycles and the growing burdens imposed by employment rules, health care costs, and pension plans. For workers, it can mean an end to the security, benefits, and sense of importance that came from being a loyal employee. Lesson 20. Vocabulary. Vote. Debate. Territory. Flash. Via. Net. Bulletin. Physician. Moral. Sigh. Association. Haste.
Patient.
Deadly. Pill. Diagnose. Certificate. Resident. Lung. Terrify. Spiritual. Oxygen. Claw. Mask. Parliamentary. Injection.
Passage. It was 3:45 in the morning when the vote was finally taken. After 6 months of arguing and final 16 hours of hot parliamentary debate, Australia's Northern Territory became the first legal authority in the world to allow doctors to take the lives of incurably ill patients who wished to die. The measure passed by the convincing vote of 15 to 10. Almost immediately, word flashed on the internet and was picked up half a world away by John Hafez, Executive Director of the Right to Die Society of Canada. He sent it on via the group's online service, DeathNet. Says Hafez, "We posted bulletins all day long because, of course, this isn't just something that happened in Australia. It's world history." The full import may take a while to sink in. The NT writes of the terminally ill law has left physicians and citizens alike trying to deal with its moral and practical implications. Some have breathed sighs of relief. Others, including churches, Right to Life groups, and the Australian Medical Association, bitterly attacked the bill in the haste of its passage. But the tide is unlikely to turn back. In Australia, where an aging population, life-extending technology, and changing community attitudes have all played their part, other states are going to consider making a similar law to deal with euthanasia. In the U.S. and Canada, where the Right to Die movement is gathering strength, observers are waiting for the dominoes to start falling. Under the new Northern Territory law, an adult patient can request death, probably by a deadly injection or pill, to put an end to suffering. the patient must be diagnosed as terminally ill by two doctors. After a cooling-off period of 7 days, the patient can sign a certificate of request. After 48 hours, the wish for death can be met. For Lloyd Nixon, a 54-year-old Darwin resident suffering from lung cancer, the NT Rights of Terminally Ill law means he can get on with living without the haunting fear of his suffering, a terrifying death from his breathing condition. I'm not afraid of dying from a spiritual point of view, but what I was afraid of was how I'd go, because I've watched people die in the hospital fighting for oxygen and clawing at their masks, he says. Vocabulary. Rude. Deserve. Diversion. Frontier. Hospitality.
Nowhere.
Settlement. Impulse. Situation. Weary. Superficial. Signal. Assumption. Conclusion. Culture. Encounter. Virtue. Courteous. Passage.
A report consistently brought back by visitors to the U.S. is how friendly, courteous, and helpful most Americans were to them. To be fair, this observation is also frequently made of Canada and Canadians and should best be considered North American. There are, of course, exceptions. Small-minded officials, rude waiters, and ill-mannered taxi drivers are hardly unknown in the U.S., yet it is an observation made so frequently that it deserves comment. For a long period of time, and in many parts of the country, a traveler was a welcome break in an otherwise dull existence. Dullness and loneliness were common problems of the families who generally lived distant from one another. Strangers and travelers were welcome sources of diversion and brought news of the outside world. The harsh realities of the frontier also shaped this tradition of hospitality. Someone traveling alone, if hungry, injured, or ill, often had nowhere to turn except to the nearest cabin or settlement. It was not a matter of choice for the traveler or merely a charitable impulse on the part of the settlers. It reflected the harshness of daily life. If you didn't take in the stranger and take care of him, there was no one else who would. And someday, remember, you might be in the same situation. Today, there are many charitable organizations which specialize in helping the weary traveler. Yet, the old tradition of hospitality to strangers is still very strong in the U.S., especially in the smaller cities and towns away from the busy tourist trails. I was just traveling through, got talking with this American, and pretty soon he invited me home for dinner. Amazing! Such observations reported by visitors to the U.S. are not uncommon, but are not always understood properly. The casual friendliness of many Americans should be interpreted neither as superficial nor as artificial, but as the result of a historically developed cultural tradition. As is true of any developed society, in America, a complex set of cultural signals, assumptions, and conventions underlies all social interrelationships. And of course, speaking a language does not necessarily mean that someone understands social and cultural patterns. Visitors who fail to translate cultural meanings properly often draw wrong conclusions. For example, when an American uses the word friend, the cultural implications of the world may be quite different from those it has in the visitor's language and culture. It takes more than a brief encounter on a bus to distinguish between courteous convention and individual interest. Yet, being friendly is a virtue that many Americans value highly and expect from both neighbors and strangers. Lesson 21. Vocabulary. Substance. Alter. Function. Chemical. Alcohol. Neutral. Phrase. Abuse. Nerve. Excess. Negative. Poison. Intense. Tolerance. Symptom. Nervous. Mood. Behavior. Activate. Primary. Distort. Consciousness. Cocaine. Pervasive. Aspirin. Perceptual. Distortion. Psychocoactive. Hallucinogen. Psychedelic. Radically.
Passage. Technically, any substance other than food that alters our bodily or mental functioning is a drug. Many people mistakenly believe the term drug refers only to some sort of medicine or an illegal chemical taken by drug addicts. They don't realize that familiar substances such as alcohol and tobacco are also drugs. This is why the more neutral term substance is now used by many physicians and psychologists. The phrase substance abuse is often used instead of drug abuse to make clear that substances such as alcohol and tobacco can be just as harmfully misused as heroin and cocaine. We live in a society in which the medical and social use of substances, drugs, is pervasive. An aspirin to quiet a headache, some wine to be sociable, coffee to get going in the morning, a cigarette for the nerves. When do these socially acceptable and apparently constructive uses of a substance become misuses? First of all, most substances taken in excess will produce negative effects such as poisoning or intense perceptual distortions. Repeated use of a substance can also lead to physical addiction or substance dependence. Dependence is marked first by an increased tolerance, with more and more of the substance required to produce the desired effect, and then by the appearance of unpleasant withdrawal symptoms when the substance is discontinued. Drugs, substances, that affect the central nervous system and alter perception, mood, and behavior are known as psychoactive substances. Psychoactive substances are commonly grouped according to whether they are stimulants, depressants, or hallucinogens. Stimulants initially speed up or activate the central nervous system, whereas depressants slow it down. Hallucinogens have their primary effect on perception, distorting and altering it in a variety of ways, including producing hallucinations. These are the substances often called psychedelic, from the Greek word meaning minding, because they seem to radically alter one state of consciousness. Vocabulary. Accomplish. Senator. Corrupt. Responsibility. Core. Financial. Stock. Billion. Cable. Property. Flap. Outlet. Column. Latitude. Irritating.
Sign.
Extent. Verse. Assert. Cite. Communicate. Balance. Launch. Label. Associate. Wrap. Objectionable. Insider. Passage.
No company likes to be told it is contributing to the moral decline of a nation. Is this what you intended to accomplish with your careers? Senator Robert Dole asked Time Warner executives last week. You have sold your souls, but must you corrupt our nation and threaten our children as well? At Time Warner, however, such questions are simply the latest manifestation of the soul-searching that has involved the company ever since the company was born in 1990. It's a self-examination that has, at various times, involved issues of responsibility, creative freedom, and the corporate bottom line. At the core of this debate is Chairman Gerald Levin, 56, who took over for the late Steve Ross in 1992. On the financial front, Levin is under pressure to raise the stock price and reduce the company's mountainous debt, which will increase to $17.3 billion after two new cable deals close. He has promised to sell off some of the property and restructure the company, but investors are waiting impatiently. The flap over wrap is not making life any easier for him. Levin has consistently defended the company's rap music on the grounds of expression. In 1992, when Time Warner was under fire for releasing Ice-T's violent rap song, Cop Killer, Levin described rap as a lawful expression of street culture, which deserves an outlet. The test of any democratic society, he wrote in a Wall Street Journal column, lies not in how well it can control expression, but in whether it gives freedom of thought and expression the widest possible latitude. However disputable or irritating the results may sometimes be, we won't retreat in the face of any threats. Levin would not comment on the debate last week, but there were signs that the chairman was backing off his hard-line stand, at least to some extent. During the discussion of rock singing verses at last month's stockholders' meeting, Levin asserted that music is not the cause of society's ills, and even cited his son, a teacher in the Bronx, New York, who uses rap to communicate with his students. But he talked as well about the balance struggle between creative freedom and social responsibility. And he announced that the company would launch a drive to develop standards for distribution and labeling of potentially objectionable music. The 15-member Time Warner board is generally supportive of Levin and his corporate strategy, but insiders say several of them have shown their concerns in this matter. Some of us have known for many, many years that the freedoms under the First Amendment are not totally unlimited, says Luce. I think it is perhaps the case that some people associated with the company have only recently come to realize this.